We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be found present here on this day, knowing full well that it's because of your mercy and your grace that you've kept us, and we're grateful for that. As we bow before you, Father, we ask that our hearts might be humbled, that we approach your holy throne of grace and mercy, knowing full well that we don't deserve at all, Father, to be approaching your throne. But it's because of your darling Son, Jesus Christ, who has stood up for us and has died for us and has given us a right to that tree of life, Father, that you hear us and you see us through your darling Son. And again, we're grateful for that. We're grateful, Father, for salvation. We're grateful for your Holy Spirit that guides us and teaches us all things concerning you and your will. And we ask that as we come before you this morning, as we study your word, that the Holy Spirit will continue to guide us, allow our hearts and minds to grow, to be able to see those things that you, Father, have in store for us on this day as well as in the future. We ask that we might take these things into our hearts and our minds, and certainly, Father, teach those to the world around about us that they may indeed desire to become a member of the church and ask, Father, that question, what must I do to be saved? We thank you, Father, for those that have been sick and have been healed. We thank you for those that are bereaving and certainly have been comforted. We thank you for those that are traveling, Father, and has made it safely to their destination. We ask, Father, that you might be with us again on this day as we come together later on to worship you in spirit and truth as well. Ask that you might indeed, Father, search our hearts and our minds and allow us to get rid of all those things that might be a distraction to us as we come before you in your holy throne. We thank you, Father, for Christ. We thank you once again for our salvation. Thank you for the church. These are all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Daniel chapter 6. I tried to listen to the lesson from Brother Banks last week, but it wasn't available online, so I wasn't able to hear it. He gave me a couple of handouts as to what he gave y'all last week and all, and that's wonderful. But we're going to cover Daniel chapter 6 here this morning. And I'm going to go ahead and read it because there's just some things in there that we're going to pull out here in a minute. But I need it to be read fresh on your mind, so when we talk about it, we'll be ready to get it in. That's just before we get our TEE done. She didn't hear me, all right? See, before we do our TEE, we're going to read Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. Verse number 1, the Bible says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So the governors and the satraps thronged before the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, satraps, counselors, and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign in writing so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions? The king answered and said, this thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now, when the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, there were no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came into the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying unto Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the pit. Then King Darius wrote, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. His dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. All right. Who wants to go first and tell them what you got from this thing in Daniel chapter 6? Incredible. We've heard this story all our lives about Daniel in the lion's den. We've had bits and pieces of it, actually. Now we have the full story, and we have a better understanding because we've grown as a result of living lives on this earth, so we should know a little bit more about the context of what God is trying to tell us here in the book of Daniel. Anybody shoot for me. What you got? Daniel chapter 6, Daniel in the lion's den. Mm-hmm.
Daniel was a man of God. They knew about the things that had happened in the past. Sometimes we forget about that. There were secretaries, that's what I'm going to call them, people that wrote down stuff that the king...
Mm-hmm. Scribes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they would inform him maybe monthly or whatever. So that he didn't forget about certain rules and laws that he had enacted. And when these satraps were these people that are in authority, they went to the king, persuaded or convinced him to make a law that no one is to pray to any god or make any kind of contract between anybody within 30 days if so that they would be killed. You can't pray to your god, but Daniel was a faithful individual and he prayed daily. He knew about these individuals and how they were sneaking around because of what he had, you know, the power that he had because the king had given him because of the goodness that was in Daniel. And when this edict was given, a king is supposed to have all authority. You make rules, you make laws. You break laws, you break rules. So when these individuals persuaded the king saying that, now, just anybody, they know that Daniel will be caught up in this because Daniel was going to pray. Because he prayed daily. His window was open towards Jerusalem and he prayed. So once this evening was made, Daniel, you know, he continued his daily life. He was praying and these individuals were watching him and Daniel knew they was watching him. And so they went and told the king that, yo, Daniel is over there praying. He's breaking the law. Now what are you going to do about it? You made this law. So if anybody prays to anybody besides you, you put in the lines. Okay, now I can't go back on my word, I'm the king. But if I were the king, I said, well, this my boy. I know I make stuff, I'm the best. Mm-hmm. So I'm a party. He wouldn't do it. He said, put him in there. We made this, and they was saying, O king, you can't work it. Yes, you can, O king, but he didn't. So Daniel was put, but you know, once he had, Darius had done this, he said, now, I know you're a good man. Your God is going to kind of watch over you, hopefully. So he put that in there. He kind of put that in there. So we know, but God watched over Daniel. He shut the mouths of the lions. And Darius was anxious. He couldn't sleep well because he knew what he had done was wrong. And he was hoping and praying for himself that God would, at least that's what it says, that God would protect him. And that did happen. So he got up early next morning. He went, Daniel, you all right? Well, yeah, I'm going to do it for you. So once he brought Daniel out, now the king realized that these individuals that he had put in a position of authority was tricking him. So he gets upset. So now, okay, now y'all want to lie on the man and did all this. So I'm going to have you, your whole family, put in the lion's den because of what you had done. And Daniel was, you know, he prevailed. He was brought out, and these lions had a nice meal.
just a story. He was vindicated. Yep.
Yes, he was.
Anybody else? Any commentary on Daniel chapter 6? Go ahead, Brother Frederick.
So they watched him, as Andy was saying. And so they set him up, went to the king, and then the king, of course, had to follow his edict and put the man in the den. But he was protected by God, as we are today. And he survived.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the earliest examples of a person being set up.
Let me ask you all this before we go any further. Anybody in here right now, this present time, living a life that you didn't expect to live? Think about that for a second.
Good or bad?
Good or bad? Good or bad? I think all of us in here are living lives that we really never expected that we would live. And we endure temptations and trials and tribulations in our lives that we never even expected that we would endure, right? So when life doesn't go according to our plans, and we've been in these trials for a very long time, how do you maintain your trust in the Lord? How do you do that? How do you conquer this ever-increasing challenge to convince yourself that God is still present in your life? How can we maintain our faith to continue to trust in God even when our lives seem to be falling apart and not going according to the way that we planned? We planned, right? That's the message of Daniel chapter 6. Because his life isn't going according to the way that he planned it. Oh, he was a little teenage boy, remember? Taken. He's an older man right now. He's an older man. He witnessed the fall of Babylon, and now it's the Medo-Persian Empire that he's up against. And he interpreted that because of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Remember that? Recording Daniel chapter 2. But now in Daniel chapter 5, we find the Medes and the Persians conquering Babylon, and Darius the Mede being set over the land as well. So he has to endure another king. And so the sixth chapter of this book of Daniel, it opens with Darius establishing the administration over the kingdom. And that kingdom is the Medo-Persian Empire. But what happens is that the Medes and Persians seize the kingdom by destroying Babylon, right? But I want you to notice what God says in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 31. Just take a look at that real quick. 5:31. See what it says? There's that verb in there, right? What's that verb? And he received, right? Yeah, man, look, God gave that to him as a gift. It was prophesied, right? Nebuchadnezzar had the dream. Daniel interpreted the dream. So he received the kingdom. He did not get that kingdom. It was a gift from God, right? The kingdom was given to him. So he reorders the kingdom. And when he reorders the kingdom, he selects Daniel again as one of the three high officials in the kingdom, just like under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, right? So he becomes distinguished over all the other people, all the other officials and satraps. The Bible says because of his what? Excellent spirit. Because of excellent spirit. But the rest of the people, they set him up, right? They said, we done been here all these years. We done been with you, Darius. And here comes this guy who's a captive from Judah. He's even one of us. And you putting him where? Man, let me tell you something. We was in the military, right? You had these lieutenants coming in. You know where I'm going. Been doing the job all these years, right? And here come the lieutenant. Well, you got to do it this way. What? What? Wait a minute, huh? It happens like that in all facets of life, doesn't it? These people say,
I say even on jobs with supervisors that, you know, you're doing the job the way you want, but they want an outside person to come in, you know, to be a new supervisor. They have no idea what goes on. And then, of course, you have to yield to that because even though they don't know, you know, the job is running smooth, why mess with it?
These guys say, we're not going for that.
Right.
We're going to set this joke up because we know that he serves God. He's a faithful man. We can't get him any other way. Right? So we're going to try to get him because we can't find a reason or complaint or fault in him at all. But we knew that if we're going to find anything else, verse number 5, if we're going to find anything against Daniel, it's got to be regarding the laws of God. Wouldn't that be great if that was just us? Wouldn't it be great? If you could find anything, any kind of fault in us at all, it would simply be because we are faithful to God. Other than that, you wouldn't be able to find nothing else. But we all sin. Right? So you'll find more than that in me. I'm just letting you know right now. You're going to find it. Right? We all have our weaknesses and our faults. We do. Right? But they knew that if they want to cause Daniel some trouble, they need to come up with a plan that's going to impede on Daniel's obedience to his God and conflict with the laws of the Medes and Persians. Right? But like you said, the king was the king. Right? He could have changed the rule if he wanted to, but the narrative is in verse 4. Daniel was faithful. No error was found in Daniel's handling of the kingdom because he was faithful to God. So the basis of the complaint had to be because of his faithfulness. Wouldn't that be great if that's what people complained about us all the time because we were just so good? Man, I can't stand him. He's just too good. What is he doing working over here? We're not going to hang with him. Growing up as kids, we got teased because we were goody two-shoes. Remember that? So we felt like we had to change and adapt and be less than good to gain the favor of those that were not good at all. So the plan is hatched, right? The plan is hatched. The king going to pass a law. And nobody can petition no other god or other man for how long? What was the timeline?
Wait, say that again.
What was the timeline for this law that they set, this decree, this edict that they made? Mm-hmm. The timeline was 30 days. Nobody's not going to call on any other god. That's right, 30 days. That's right, bow down nobody else except you. Give me 30 days, king, that's all we need. But they know they didn't need 30 days because the same day, right? Yeah. And I'm saying to you that people are going to come up against us and they shouldn't have to have 30 days to see whether we're faithful to God or not. They know it already right away. But I'm going to show you, King, if you give me 30 days, I'm going to show you who this guy Daniel really is, right? What about us? Give me 30 days And I guarantee you in 30 days, every one of those days, I'm a commit a sin. Right? Because that's who we are. But then we think about Christ and how his blood covers us in that particular time. Not just in the 30-day period, it's covering us right now. Am I right? So what does it take for us to convince ourselves that we belong to God, no matter what challenge the world puts out there against us, we got that covered. How often do we resist that? How strong are we at resisting that? Because as I said before, a man can't know how much of restraint he's got against a temptation unless he fights against it. He can't know. And you'll never know. If you surrender in the first hour, you'll never know how much of restraint you had at hour number five, because you've given in already. So Daniel said, well, you know what? I know you're the king, right? I'm going to go ahead and honor the king, and I'm going to bow down to you. Right? We compromise a lot as Christians. We do. It depends on what it is that we want or what we favor or who's around us. Whatever the case might be, we compromise a whole lot. Daniel says, listen, you already know what I do, so I'm going to do what I do, regardless of what's happening on the outside or who's looking, who's talking. That makes a difference in us sometimes. Well, I can't do it because I don't want nobody to talk about me as a Christian. I can't do that because I don't want nobody to see me as a Christian. I can't do that because whatever your excuse might be, we fall prey to that, don't we? Daniel says, you're going to see what I'm doing. You're going to see. The Bible says after he knew the document had been signed, he changed absolutely nothing regarding his faithful behavior towards God. So he opened that window, got down on his knees, and continued to pray three times a day as he'd done previously, as was his custom, right? I'm going to tell you why that was. It wasn't simply because he wanted to do that. You see, Daniel, the Bible says he was a faithful man. He understood God and understood his word. So when you go back, look, your kids know full well, if you raise your kids under the auspices of the church, they know right from wrong. They know the spiritual side as well as the worldly side. They know. So they have to make a decision of what they're going to do. And my thing is, make the decision of what you're going to do before you get to the point of having to do it. Here's why Daniel made that decision. Let me take you over here to 1 Kings chapter 8. Let me show you something here. People forget about God's word a lot when they're up against things. They forget about it. Not Daniel, he didn't forget about it. This is why he was faithful, because he was faithful to God and his word. 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 46. Look what the Bible says, 46 through 51. Everybody there yet? This is what God said to Solomon. 1 Kings 8, 46 through 51, 46 reads, if they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you are angry with them and give them to an enemy, so they are carried away captive to the land of the enemy, far off or near. Yet if they turn their heart in the land to which they have been carried captive and repent and plead with you to the land in the land of their captors, saying, we have sinned and have acted perversely and wickedly. If they repent with all their mind and with all their heart in the land of their enemies who carried them captive and pray to you toward their land, which you gave their fathers, the city that you have chosen, and the house that I have built for your name, then hear in heaven and your dwelling place their prayer and their plea, and maintain their cause and forgive your people who have sinned against you, and all their transgressions that they have committed against you, and grant them compassion in the sight of those who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they are your people and your heritage, which you brought up out of Egypt from the midst of the iron furnace. Daniel isn't just praying for himself. He's praying because he's known for years and years the laws of God, and he kept them in his heart. Sometimes we forget the laws of God when we're up against things in the world. We tend to just shy away from the laws of God because we got this covered. We got it, right? Daniel's not praying. He's praying for himself and for the people of Israel, because of the covenant faithfulness of God. Right here, you see God told Solomon he agreed to a covenant. When his people turned their back towards Jerusalem and they prayed, God who is in heaven would grant him compassion in the sight of those who carried him captive. He said, I'm going to show you that I am God through what you are going to do even while you're being captive. And what that says to me is when we are captive by Satan and by sin, God is continually showing us that if we turn our backs on the world and pray to him, he's going to show the world who we are and who he is through our actions. Right? What you got?
And I was going to say this, even in Daniel, I think it's Daniel chapter 1, when he was first captive, remember, I mean, he decided from the very beginning, you know, so you knew he came with that. We're not going to eat of the king's food.
Yep, give us some leaves.
And that was a big thing to do, you know, because he could have been killed right away. He didn't know what that was going to behold, but he decided that, okay, you know, but he came with that. Like you said, he came with that. He knew God. And so therefore, whatever happened, come with me because I know the God that I serve. And he didn't want to be part of that, you know, food, given to idols and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
You had to eat
and
that.
So he came with that. And, you know, and I said that just to say, you know, we have to be prepared, you know, and in order to be prepared, we have to know God's word. And we also have to be convinced of God's word, you know, not necessarily to say that, okay, all things are going to come out just straight. Because I would have thought, you know, if I'm captive and I believe in God, look, we're going to be here for a minute and then we're going to be gone. And then God is going to rescue us, you know, but that wasn't the case. Because here we are looking at Daniel, and he's in captivity.
He's an old man now.
Yeah, he's an older man. This is what Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, and then even through Osiris, it's saying, you know, so he, it's like, am I going to die here or what? You know, but he didn't lose hope.
He knew they was trying to kill him.
Right, that's what I'm saying. The whole time, every time, you know, you get through one thing, and then here comes another. And I done proved to y'all who my God is.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know what I look. The king says, listen, I'm gonna throw you in the den of lions.
Right.
Because you're gonna bow down to your God, and you're not gonna bow down to me. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna throw you in the den of lions. Would you go running high? Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, Mark, look, what? Man, what? Yeah, they had to come find me to throw me in the den, right? But what faith calls us to do in those particular points, listen, what faith calls us to do is to not run and hide, but to trust in the faithfulness of God.
Yeah.
And in the wide open, show people who you are and who God is in the wide open. Don't run and hide. But I'm just trying to tell you, I'm getting it in. All right?
I'm going to be in the den with you. I mean,
we got to get it in, girl. We can't get in.
Man.
All our bones broken. You gotta come find us. It's about being faithful to God in a time of trials and tribulations. It's about being faithful to God in the times when there's joy in your life and you're receiving all the things that you need from God. It's about not running and hiding, but representing who God is in you and who lives in you as Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
Which is a stark contrast between knowing something and acting like it, you know? And I think that's the difference, especially, you know, with parents raising children. You know something, but I need you to act like you know.
Say that all the time. Act like you know you're
going to.
Fall down yet. But because of the faithfulness of Daniel, he depends on the faithfulness of God that God would save his life. Here's the problem that we had. Right? Ready? I'm going to try to save myself. That's why I'm running. Anybody in here try to save yourself? You try to save? Listen, Daniel knew he couldn't save himself. And that's what's the matter with the world today. People think they can save themselves from sin. They cannot save themselves from sin. It's too much for them to battle. It's too much of a load for them to carry. It's too much of a burden. That's why Jesus says, come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Put everything on me because you can't handle that. But you ain't got to run either. Right? Listen, the law, way back when, God told Solomon about his people being captive. When you get captured, we get ourselves into a situation where Satan comes into our lives and we are being captive to sin, don't turn your back on God. Because he always gives you a way out, right? But you got to take it. My way would have been, right, Brother Fred? Yeah, I'm done. I'm out of there. But listen, the officials are not surprised that Daniel is praying up in that window and they're looking at him. They knew that's what he was going to do, right? It wasn't a surprise at all because he knew it was going to happen. That's why they asked that king to pass that law, because Daniel was an outsider coming in and he was going to be ahead over all of them. Now, who wants that? We just, that's our human nature. We don't want nobody telling us what to do if you ain't, right? Get out of here, Lieutenant. But the bottom line is, we find out that the king is concerned about Daniel. When he heard this, the Bible says he was distressed and he set his mind to deliver Daniel. See, God changes the hearts and minds of men. I said it over and over and over again. If your heart is set, if you intend on doing the right thing, God will change the hearts and minds of men. You can go in saying, you know what, I'm going to go in here and I know what this man is going to say. I know what he's going to do to me. And you get in there, totally different. Because God changed. He couldn't even sleep. I don't want no musicians coming in here. I don't want entertainment. I don't want nothing. This man who serves God is about to get killed because of my law, right? My law. Remember when we were coming to America? Let me get this scene for you. In the limousine, getting ready to go home, right? From the hotel, right? Remember the conversation? The wife looks at the king. The king looks at the wife. And she says, well, you're going to let this happen? That's what you're going to do? You're just going to let him? He says, well, the law is the law. And she says, well, right? Listen, you could change. Look, the king could have changed. But God changed his heart and his mind. Even though he refused to change the law, God still troubled his heart and his mind because he knew what he was doing. Listen, whenever a man doesn't have a conscience, he's in trouble. I'm here to tell you all that right now. Because once your conscience is seared, it's nothing that you could do or God could do for you at all. So don't get to that point. You don't be that guy. So against his desire, the king commands Daniel, throw him in the lion's den. But may your God, not, he didn't say it was mine. He said, may your God whom you serve. Now here's the key word, continually. It's that adverb right there. What about us? May the God that we serve continually deliver us. And we pray that all the time, right? Deliver us from all evil, right? May the God that we serve continually deliver us from all evil. From the den of thieves, den of lions, den of lies, to whatever den we get thrown in.
How are you doing with serving continuously?
How are you doing with that?
Yeah.
That's it. How are you doing with that? Oh, king, live forever. God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found what? Blameless before him. And listen, let me tell you something, king. I was found blameless before you, too. You didn't have nothing on me. You didn't have no reason to throw me in that den except for your law that you could have changed. Right? Because you're the king. I want you to look at four times in this narrative what happens in this narrative, what is said about Daniel. And I want you to put your name in there. Right? This is going to be you. Right? Four times. All right. Here we go. The narrative explains the salvation that God gave to Daniel. He gave it to him in verse 3, it says, because Emmet was an excellent spirit. He had an excellent spirit in him. Put your name in there, right? Verse 4, because Emmet was found faithful. So he's saving him, right? Verse 21, because Emmett was found blameless before God. See that? In verse 23, because Emmett had trusted in his God. Now here's the thing. How you doing with those four? Put your name in. Because everything that's written is not written for the people that we see on these pages. It's written for us, right? So we're talking about Daniel. Look at those four, and you can write them down and keep them, whatever you want to do. But the message is that we are exiles in a strange place and time, pilgrims. And what we need to do as exiles is to remain faithful to the Lord and put our trust in God that he will save us. Sometimes when you're in exile, you're plotting a way to get out, right? I know we're going to escape this. We're going to get out of this. We're going to hatch a plan. We're going to escape. Nah. He says, when you're in that situation, just trust God. Trust him. Trust him even through difficulties. Because, again, there's not one person in this room today that has not gone through trials and tribulations and wished that their lives was in a different situation. We do. We do. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:16, he said, first, nobody came to my defense to even stand by me. Everybody left me. But don't charge it against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that the message I might be fully proclaimed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that the Gentiles might hear it. So you know what Paul says? He goes all the way back there to the book of Daniel. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:16 through 18, he says, so I was rescued from the mouth of the lion. And we can be too. Because Satan goes around as a what? And we could be rescued as well. Even if no one stands with you, know full well that God stands with you and will rescue you from every evil deed. But you got to want that. And then Paul says, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Right? We're talking about rescue here. We're talking about being rescued. And what the truth that this is tied to is what he says again. Paul says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his kingdom. We've been saved from sin. We have been. We bought into the church, the kingdom of God. The writer of Hebrews says the same thing. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms, they enforced justice, they obtained promises, and the Hebrew writer says in verse number 33, and they stopped the mouth of lions. Incredible, isn't it? The mouth of lions was stopped because of the faithfulness of Daniel. And the mouth of lions could be stopped as well because of the faithfulness that was brought to us because of the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ because we trusted in God. And that's the difference between salvation and not being subject to the salvation that comes from God. You have to trust in God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. You have to trust in God. Without faith, nothing is possible. But with God, all things are possible, right? Oh, he's Roman. That's right. That's right. So even in personal despair, we got a lot of things going on in this nation right now. There's a lot of things going on as far as the global opposition. And we could be tempted not to trust in the Lord at all, to give up our faith because we're living in a dark time in our lives. And we need to know that there are a lot of circumstances in our lives, and everybody's circumstance in this room is different. We live under a variety of different circumstances, but we only serve that. How many? One God. And that God doesn't always give you the relief that you need or the relief that you crave because of the situation that you're in. Daniel is an old man now, and he has been in slavery for year after year after year, and God has been faithful for him. So just because you're in a new circumstance, all right, just because you're in a new circumstance doesn't really allow you to think that those new circumstances is going to give you the relief that you need. Because sometimes we face the same troubles over and over, right? Sometimes by no fault of our own. But we got to live our life faithful to the end. We got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. We have to live our lives faithful to the end. The end of what? The end of what? What does that mean? Live our lives faithful to the end. The end of what? It's going to be over one day. The Lord has delivered us and he has rescued us from even from ourselves. And that's a guarantee that can't be taken away. Can't. Even in the absence of future crisis, even if nothing else ever happens to you, God's still going to rescue us. So there's some parallels. Let me run through these parallels real quick about shadows of Christ. We find the officials conquered Daniel in chapter 6, and the high priest and elders conspired to kill Jesus Christ, right? The conspirators found no corruption in Daniel, and just as they found no corruption in Jesus Christ. Daniel was convicted by deception and trickery. Jesus was charged with blasphemy, a false charge of blasphemy. Jesus and Daniel were found guilty of transgressing the law, but Jesus hadn't broken any law. Darius unsuccessfully tried to save Daniel, and Pilate unsuccessfully tried to save Jesus, right? Daniel trusted in God for deliverance. Jesus trusted in his father for deliverance. Daniel's placed in the pit. Jesus was placed in the tomb. Daniel's pit was covered with a stone. A stone was rolled in front of it. And Jesus' tomb was also covered with a great stone, and they both were sealed early in the morning. You remember that? Early in the morning, the king runs to the to the lion's den and said, Daniel, you in there? Take him up out of that den. And you find people running early in the morning to the tomb of Jesus Christ. Daniel says, from Gramercy, he ain't there. He's risen, he done got him up out of here. He's gone. And even after being taken up from that den, Daniel, he continues to prosper and rule in that foreign land, in that kingdom. And Jesus was raised from the dead, and he continues to rule, whether we know it or not. He continues to rule and prosper in his kingdom, It's a scene of victory, even in the face of despair. So look at your own life and be thankful to God that we have victory in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right? And that we need to be immovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain, Paul said to the church of Corinth. It's exactly what he said. That's what he said. So as long as we live in this life, remember that temptation can grow to a point that we no longer trust in God, but we can't do that. Especially temptation can plague our lives when we've been enduring something in this life for a long time, especially something that we did not expect, right? All of us in here have been living a life that we did not expect. But I tell you what, we didn't expect the salvation that comes from God either, because the Bible says at just the right time, God sent Jesus Christ. He sent him. And what's going to be so sad, it says that Jesus is coming back, right, to get us. Jesus even said, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. But there's going to be a lot of people who don't even expect that. That's a sad commentary. Daniel knew what to expect. He knew they were conspiring against him, but he knew full well that he was going to continue to be faithful to God. And I expect that we will too. That's all I got for you. We're going to do Daniel chapter 7 next week. Anybody want any closing remarks? You can have them. You good? Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time that you've given us to study your word, as that our hearts and minds may have been opened, that we might indeed receive what your spirit has for us on this day, that we, Father, even in this life that we live, that things can grow in our lives that we really don't expect, and we can endure those things that we didn't expect as well. We have trials and lifelong consequences in our lives, Father, and that we just can't seem to get over, but we know full well that you stand beside us and you stand with us. If we maintain our faith and continue to trust in you, even though our lives seem like it's falling apart and not going to according to our own plan, Let this message from Daniel chapter 6 show us, Father, that you are the God of heaven and earth. And as long as we have faith in you, we'll be delivered. Thank you, Father, for the Christ, for the salvation that comes from only him. Ask that you might forgive us for our sins. These are all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all. Daniel chapter 7, next week.